I'm going to share a number with you to start. I want you to see if this number resonates with you in any way, and you can work out where this number's from. So it could be your telephone number, it could be your house number, it could be something else. If you work out what it is, please don't tell everyone else. Okay, so the number is, are you ready? 24601. Does that mean anything to anybody? Okay, I'm going to put it into context a little bit, and I'm going to add a little bit of dialogue around it. Well, it's not actually dialogue, it's actually song. So I'm going to try and sing to you. I hope this is okay early on a Sunday morning. And this might help you to work out where the number's from. So are you ready? This is the first clue. Now, prisoner 24601, your time is up and your parole has begun. Any clearer? Yeah, okay. And prisoner 24601, the most compelling moment of this production, he then, I'm actually auditioning for the part, I don't know if you know, he then responds to Javert, who is the prison officer, and he says this, my name is Jean Valjean. Does it make sense now where 24601 is from? Okay, so that is from the opening of Les Mis. Does it make sense? Okay, and you might have seen the film, before it became a film, it was a production in the West End. When it first came out, Les Mis, they said that it was going to be a complete failure, but I think it's been one of the most successful productions that we've ever seen put on. And I love this opening scene. I don't know if you've seen it, but Jean Valjean is a prisoner, and he's been put in an awful prison to do hard labor for 19 years because he stole a loaf of bread. And after 19 years of hard labor, he gets to the day where he's about to be released. And Javert, who's in charge of the prison, says to him, your time is up and you're about to be set free. And he calls him prisoner 24601 because that's how he's been known for 19 years. Not by his name, not by anything to do with his personality or his character. He's just known as a number, prisoner 24601. And for me, it's a really moving moment where suddenly you see Jean Valjean step up and say to the prison officer, I am not a number. I am not 24601. I am Jean Valjean. And he leaves the prison and he goes off and his life is completely transformed in all sorts of different ways. I won't tell you because it will ruin the story for you if you've never seen it. But for me, this is one of those really significant moments where you see somebody transformed by the power of saying their name out loud. And in our gospel passage this morning, I think there is another really powerful incident of somebody's name being called out. But in our gospel passage, it's not the person calling out the name themselves. It's Jesus calling out their name. It's Jesus calling out Mary to Mary Magdalene. And I think this must have been a really powerful moment for Mary. She had seen Jesus die on the cross. She must have been coming to terms with what an awful nightmare it was that Jesus, the person who had accepted her and loved her and cared for her, had now been killed and was with her no more. And she came to the tomb, she saw some angels, she didn't understand what had happened, she thought the body had been stolen, she encountered a gardener who she thought had stolen the body. And suddenly everything changed that moment when Mary heard her name called out, Mary. In that moment, she realized and recognized that this was Jesus. This was his loving voice. This was the person who had loved and cared for her before, and he was here now. And suddenly her heart must have churned and her head must have ticked over, and suddenly she must have realized that the impossible had happened, that Jesus had come back from the dead, and he was alive. It's an amazing passage, one of my favorite passages. When I read the passage, it's almost as if everything else could just disappear, and the one word that just stands out on the page to me is Mary. In that moment, everything completely changes. And so this morning, I want to just look at a few of the ways that Mary's life is changed by this encounter. The ways that Mary, hearing her name called out by the resurrected Jesus, how that changes her life, and talk a little bit about how that might change our lives as well. So the first thing I think that happens to Mary is she realizes that Jesus is near. He's alive and he cares deeply for her. And I've got to be honest, rubbish at names. Many of you will know that often I call you the wrong name, and I do so very confidently. And you're very polite, and you smile at me and carry on with life as if it's completely normal. But I know I make mistakes, and I have to ask people 6 months later what their name was, because I've just been making up holding names. And I have all sorts of weird and wonderful creative names for you, like the lady who sits on the back at this road, da-da-da-da-da. I do know who you are, but I'm just rubbish at names. And I'm trying to get better, because I realize, especially now I'm curate, if you remember someone's name, it makes a massive difference. And I'm sure we've all been in a situation where somebody has got the wrong name for us. Last summer, I spent some time at the cathedral training for ordination, and I met a lovely lady, and she, for some reason, every time I said to her my name was Matt, decided that I was going to be called Richard. So I decided to just let this go because, you know, I was only going to see her for one morning, potentially a few weeks, but that was it. I'd never encounter this lady again. But you know what? I've seen that lady almost every other week. And every time she sees me, she says, "Hello, Richard. How are you?" And I'm now at the point where I don't really know how to tell this lovely lady that I actually am not called Richard, because we've both got to an awkward place where she's kept calling me Richard and I've kept accepting it, and I don't know really what we're going to do to resolve it. But if anyone's got any wisdom, do come and tell me at the end of the service. But obviously, names make a really big difference, don't they? Especially when someone bothers to learn your name. In my final term at college, I had the amazing privilege of going to Whitemore Prison every Wednesday afternoon to learn about theology with some of the students that are there in the prison and some students from Cambridge. And it might seem strange going to Whitemore Prison on a Wednesday afternoon, but for me, it was one of the highlights of my term. Every time we would go there, we would take in a lecturer from Cambridge, and the lecturer would talk to us for about 20 minutes, and then we'd have an hour of discussion. And it was amazing to learn from the Whitemore students, the students that were prisoners there, and also to learn from the Cambridge students from the University of Cambridge. If you bring those two groups of people together in one place, incredible things happen, incredible learning happens, something that you could never replicate in the University of Cambridge. This was the most exciting project I think I've probably been involved in my whole life. But I want to talk to you about one particular day, and this was when we brought Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, now a lecturer in Cambridge, to come to Whitemore Prison. And he was really excited and glad to come and to speak to the group of students from Cambridge and from Whitemore. But what really struck me about this man, who actually, although he seems very important and official when you see him on TV, is actually quite normal, and like most of us, probably a little bit shy. But as he went into the prison, he made the effort to greet every single prisoner, to go up to them, even though they were feeling a little bit nervous and didn't know what to do. He shook their hand, he found out about them, and he learnt their name. And amazingly, he referred to them by their names all the way through the afternoon that we were in prison. And you just saw, as these prisoners, which are normally known by a number, I mean, we joke about Les Mis, but sadly, that is the system that we have in this country, where prisoners' numbers come before their names and all the official documents that happen in the justice system. These prisoners, who were normally referred to by just a number, saw that a former Archbishop of Canterbury, somebody that they'd seen on TV in their cells, had made the effort to come to prison to talk to them and had greeted them all by name and learnt their name. You just saw suddenly that there was dignity being restored to these men. You saw that there was a transformation taking place in their lives. And as he talked to them about being good citizens, suddenly these men, who just had given up on their life and their hope, because they were stuck in prison for years and years and years, began to talk about ways that they could make an impact in prison, began to talk about ways that they could make an impact in their cells, in their wards, in their wings, and began to talk about how they could make an impact on their family. And that all started, I'm sure, from just the fact that Rowan Williams treated each of them with dignity and respect and called them by name. And going back to our gospel passage, we don't really know much about Mary Magdalene at all. We don't know a huge amount about her history. We read in Luke 8 that she had lots of demons cast out of her. The church seems to have got this myth of maybe she was a prostitute tied up with Mary Magdalene. And there's not really conclusive evidence about that, but maybe that was part of her history. But it doesn't really matter what Mary's history really was, because whoever she was, however she was accepted in society, however other people thought of her, clearly, Jesus took the time to get to know her. He took the time to draw near to her. He took the time to know her name and to learn her name. So that in this moment, in her worst nightmare, where she comes to the tomb and is trying to come to terms with the death of Jesus, she recognizes his name. She can't mistake the voice of Jesus calling out to her, expressing his love to her, and the love that he wants to just shed on her and to lavish on her in that moment. And this morning, as we gather together in church, I wonder if you can hear the voice of Jesus calling out to you. Because Jesus does love each of us here, and he knows each of us by name. He knows who we are, and he knows about our lives. And he wants to call out to us this morning and tell us that we are loved by him. So maybe that's something you just want to do as we come to our worship time later, is just try and be quiet and just hear the voice of Jesus calling out to you, saying, Matt, I love you. But obviously you're not called Matt, so put your own name in there. And hear Jesus calling out to you that he loves you this morning. So when Mary hears Jesus calling out her name, she realizes that Jesus is near and he loves her. But also I think that Jesus wants to bring transformation to Mary in that moment. Recently in the Phillips household, we have got an amazing puppy called Margie. And Margie is 12 weeks old and a bundle of joy. But Margie does sometimes have problems remembering her name. And in fairness, she's got a little bit better at this. But I'm sure for the first few weeks that we had Margie, she was convinced that her name was Wee Wee. Because quite often I would take her out into the garden and say to her, Wee Wee, Wee Wee, go Wee Wee, go Wee Wee. And Margie would come bounding up to me as if she wanted to play. And I think she started to think that her name wasn't Margie, but her name was Wee Wee. So it all became very confusing, and very quickly, as Margie decided to do wee-wees in the house, it became very frustrating as well, I have to be honest. And Caroline can tell you about the days when she came home from work and I was about to take the dog straight back to the farm where it came from because I couldn't cope any longer with the stress that this little puppy had been calling me. People tell me that a baby is worse, but we're just going to move on very swiftly from that point at the moment. But my little puppy, Margie, bless her, she can't understand, well, she does understand now, but she sometimes still gets a little bit confused, that there is power in the word Margie. Because, you know, if I call out Margie and she comes bounding to meet me and greet me, because she's responded to her name, I want to give her treats and lavish my love on her and play with her and take her for walks and do everything possible to make her day as best as it possibly can because she's responded to the word Margie. There's power in that name. If she comes up to me when she's meant to be going to Wee Wee and she just wants to play, I don't feel very impressed. I feel annoyed and frustrated, and there's no power in the word Wee Wee. But Margie is still learning this. She's getting a lot better. I want to try. How do we move on from that story? But I want to just say to you this morning that there is actually a lot of power bound up in our names. And often when we call each other by name, so I don't know, day by day, I might say, oh, hi, Caroline. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Chris. How are you? And we just refer to people by name, and we just use names as almost a placeholder, a little bit like numbers, kind of. That's just a helpful way to identify who you are today. And that's fine in day-by-day life. It doesn't make a difference, does it? But what's interesting is if you go to a funeral of somebody, I notice that suddenly a name takes on much more than just a placeholder. Because as you go in and you see the order of service, and as you speak about somebody at a funeral, a name doesn't just represent a way of describing someone. A name embodies their whole story and their whole life. It embodies the way that people have loved them, the way that they've received love from this person, the adventures they've had with them, the good times, the hard times, the funny times, the sad times, the difficult moments, the good moments. All these things are bound up in a person's name. And I want to encourage us this morning that actually, when Jesus calls out our names, just like when he called out Mary's name, he doesn't just use it as a helpful way to refer to us, but because Jesus sees the whole of eternity, he sees our history, he sees us today, and he sees our future ahead of us when he calls out our name to us. And when Jesus calls out Mary's name to her at the tomb, he doesn't just see Mary in that moment. He sees her whole history, he sees her in that moment, but he also sees the transformation that lies ahead of her. Like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 in our other reading this morning, he sees that Mary is about to become a new creation. Jesus is about to be at work in our life. And fair enough, that really happens. Mary is the one who goes and tells the disciples that Jesus is alive. Some people call her the apostle to the apostles. She is the one who is chosen by Jesus to do great and amazing things, not because she's great, but because Jesus decides to use her and to do these things through her. In our kitchen, we've got an orchid, and I have to be honest, I wanted to throw this orchid away about a year ago because the orchid died in our old house, And it was just a little stem. And I decided I was going to put it in the bin, and I couldn't be bothered anymore. Put it in the recycling, send it off to Wychford, and it would all be gone. It won't be clogging up our kitchen anymore. But Caroline persisted in watering this little orchid, and something amazing has happened. There's the kind of dead stem here, but out of the side of the stem has grown a tiny little stalk, and out of that stalk grew lots of branches. And now there's about 15 flowers on this orchid, and it looks amazing. It's been transformed from something dead, and it's full of new life. And I do think every time I look at it, wow, I can't believe I was going to bin you, little orchid. You were lucky to be saved from Wychford Recycling Centre, but you have survived. But I know that's a silly picture in some ways, because you might not feel like a flower, and you certainly might not feel like an orchid on a day like today. You probably don't want any of this more heat. But actually, Jesus is at work in our lives, and he likes to take what is dead. He likes to take our little lives, and he likes to use it and to transform us so that we will flower and blossom and change and be transformed. And so when Jesus calls out Mary, I think he's saying to Mary, yeah, I'm here, Mary, I'm alive. But also, Mary, wow, I'm going to take you on an adventure as I transform you. And so this morning, I wonder if you can hear Jesus calling out your name to you, saying, yeah, I'm here with you in the ups and downs and the rubbish moments of life. I am here with you this morning, but I don't want to just leave you here. I want to take you on an adventure. I want to transform you. I want to move you forward with me this morning on an incredible journey. So Jesus shows that he is near. Jesus brings transformation. And finally, I think Jesus helps us to see him for who he really is. Mary Magdalene, when she saw Jesus and she had this amazing encounter, she went back to the disciples and she said to them, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And I just love the humility of Mary, because I think if it was me and I was there on that day, I mean, this is the first person that's ever been resurrected from the dead, and he chose to speak to me first, to Mary. Isn't that amazing? And he knew my name. He called out my name. I think I would go back to disciples and say, oh my word, you never guess what happened to me this morning. I had the most incredible experience because I was at the tomb. You know, I went there. I was in the right place at the right time, and I just knew I had to be there. I just knew I had to be there at that particular moment. And then as I was standing there, because it's all about me, Jesus just came back and he knew that I had to be there at the time. So he called out my name. And thankfully, because I was there, I can now come and tell you guys that Jesus is alive. It's all about me. Mary is not at all like that. Mary just goes straight back to the disciples, and she says to them, I have seen the Lord. She has had this amazing encounter in her life. She has seen Jesus is alive, but it's not about her. It's all about the Lord. And this is the incredible thing in God's topsy-turvy kingdom, because as he seems to do more and more in our lives, as he transforms us in our lives, as we learn more about him and we go deeper in our walk with him, in a sense, we become more important and we discover that we are more loved than we ever have known before in our lives. But really weirdly, it doesn't make us more important in the world, because it's Jesus at work in us. It makes Jesus more important and not Matt. It makes Jesus more important and not you guys. Jesus is the one that's brought us together this morning and the one that we celebrate. And so in my life, I found myself talking about, well, I've just done it then, my life. And my house, and my city, and my job, and my calling, and my church, all these different things, they're all my things. But suddenly, as I see Jesus at work in my life, as I see him changing me and transforming me, as I really get to know more about his love, suddenly I realize that this is not really my life, but this is Jesus' life. And I realize that the house that I live in is not my house, really. It's Jesus' house to be used as he wants it to be used. I realize that this is not my church, or it's not your church, but actually it's Jesus' church. And this is not my city, this is Jesus' city. This is not my job, this is Jesus' job. Everything becomes about Jesus. Jesus is the one who becomes bigger and bigger as we ourselves become smaller and smaller. But as we become smaller and smaller, it's weird, because we discover that we are more loved and more cherished and up for so many more adventures and to be transformed than we ever would have thought possible before. So as we kind of draw all this together, I just want to encourage us this morning to just, as we move on in our service and as we worship together, as we celebrate the Eucharist together, to be still and to know that Jesus is here with us this morning, to know that he loves us and he's calling out your name this morning. He wants you to know that he is near, whatever is happening in your life, but also to recognize this morning that Jesus is not happy to just leave us where we are at the moment. He takes us by the hand and he wants to take us on the most incredible adventure where he is made bigger and bigger for everything that we do. And his light and his life is just shared with the people around us and with this city and with this world. So I think Emmy is going to come up and play gently in the background. And we're just going to have a moment to be quiet, and I'll lead us in a time of prayer. And then we're going to sing a song together, and I'd encourage you to use this time to just be still and to try and hear the voice of Jesus.